Well, take your Bible, if you will, and flip it over to Luke chapter 12. I come off of where I was last week. We'll get back to that next week. But Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to spend the remainder of our time this morning. We are in the midst of Father's Day, another Hallmark holiday. A day that I think Hallmark created to make us feel guilty and for them to get rich. And they've done a pretty good job with some of that, getting pretty rich on some of these little holidays here. On Mother's Day, I generally preach a message about how important mamas are and how we ought to remember their sacrifice and their great love for us and all of that. And then a few weeks later on Father's Day, we tell Dad that they're not measuring up. And that they need to get going and all of that sort of thing. So we point out some portion of Scripture with some character's life and how perfect that life was. And Dad's leave on that morning feeling pretty much like a failure, as we say to him at going out the door, Happy Father's Day. So I decided I was going to do something different today. Couple of things. First thing that I want to just get out there right at the outset is that you're special too, okay? Dads are special too, and obviously have a different role and different function with things, but they're just as important as a mom in the home is the importance of the dad in the home as well. So that's the first thing I want to get out there. The second thing is that you're not going to have to listen to a message that tells you how miserable of a failure you are. No matter how much of a miserable failure you are, you're not going to have to listen to a message on that this morning, okay? Today, I want to talk about the Father. Today, I want to talk about our Father. And if you make the connection with your earthly father, that's wonderful. If not, I want you to understand who we have in our Father today. He's the most wonderful Father of all. And Jesus referred to Him as my Father at least 53 times in the Gospels. Jesus referred to God as my Father. There were 21 times that he refers to Him as our Father. Now that's getting closer to home, isn't it? Our Father. And then there's another 21 times that Jesus in the Gospels calls God your Father. Now that's getting right where we want to live, right there. He was His Father, our Father, and He's your Father. And that's where we want to start with our message this morning. Let's go over to Luke chapter 12, looking in at verse 29 and following. Jesus says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." The title, Your Father, speaks of a personal relationship. There's personhood and a relationship that's in mind. When you get saved, when you're born again, in that instant, you are brought into relationship with the God of everything. At that moment, you're brought into a wonderful relationship, a father-son relationship. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 8, that a sinner that is saved by grace is adopted into the family of God. When it speaks of adoption over in Romans 8, the word adoption there means to place as a son. To place as a son. So when you're born again, you are placed into the family of God as a son, natural son, would be placed into that family. And I want you to think about God the Son and the relationship that God the Son had with God the Father. And how when you are adopted into the family, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, that you come into the full measure of that relationship as God the Son exemplifies for us. It is a wonderful relationship, and He's a wonderful Father. It is amazing to me that according to the Bible, a lost sinner is God's enemy. And that sinner that is God's enemy is a slave. Everyone, before you came into a relationship with Christ, you were God's enemy. You were a slave to the world. You were a slave to the flesh. You were a slave to Satan. No man can serve two masters. And in that non-relationship that you had prior to being born again, you were an enemy of God and a slave to those things in your life. And only thing that you had to look forward to was condemnation. Condemnation and separation from a holy and righteous God. If you sit in here this morning and you've never made your calling and election sure, that is your condition before a holy and righteous God this morning. You are in fact a slave to the world, to the flesh, and to the devil. He is your master today by virtue of default. You have defaulted any relationship by not receiving the salvation that the Lord brings. So if you sit here this morning, lost, not redeemed, not born again, then you are in fact an enemy of God this morning. And in line for the condemnation that He says is at the end of that journey. But to those of us that have received Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, we have been adopted into His very own family with all the rights and privileges of His very own Son. And we stand together shoulder to shoulder as brothers with Christ, and having God as our Father. Now the Jews, the Hebrew, had no concept of God as Father. That is a completely new thing that Jesus brings in. That he reveals in the pages of the gospel. This is something that created problems when Jesus went around speaking to folks, especially among the religious crowd. To the Hebrew, to the Jew, He was Jehovah, Yahweh. They never thought of God in intimate terms. God was the one that had the hammer. He was the one that looked on the lawgiver. He was the one in charge of everything. But the idea of an intimacy and an intimate relationship did not come into that position. Then Jesus shows up, and He starts calling God Father. And that stirred up the religionists of the day. I mean, it got them going big time. Back in the Old Testament economy, if a person had a need in some area, they called on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that would provide. If they had a time or season when they were anxious about something, then they would call on Jehovah Shammah. Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. When they were lonely and when they were afraid, they would call on Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord is near. When they had a problem with not knowing which way to go and needed some leadership in their life, then they called on Jehovah Roha, the Lord, our shepherd, to lead them and to guide them in this process there. When they were sick, they'd call on Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that is our healer. And on through dozens of other areas where problems existed, and God had shown himself strong in those areas, and they would call on that particular aspect of their God, determined by what their need was. And so whatever need they had, that determined who they called upon in the day of trouble or in the day of need. But to those of us that are in Christ, there's a difference. To those of us that are in Christ, there's a new and a different way to speak to God. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Go back one chapter to the first verse of the 11th chapter here. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Get the context of what we see here. The Lord's been praying. And these folks that are looking on and listening, looking on to what's going on here, are seeing something different, something that they desire, something that they want. This is not any kind of praying that they've ever seen. This is not the kind of praying that that they're used to. This is a kind of praying that is deep and deep and wide in its scope and in its love. And they have a desire to have this same thing take place in their life. And he says to them, he says, when you pray, he says, say this, "Our Father." That's different. That's different than anything they've heard. You see, God's there for provision, but he needed to be addressed in a strong way and in a particular way. But now Jesus is saying, all you have to do is recognize the relationship. All you have to do is cry out to your Father. In that Father relationship that's there. Our Father, which art in heaven. You can't serve two masters. There's only one Father in heaven. Amen? You might have another Father, but he ain't in heaven. That kind of narrows it down real quick, don't it? There's a lot of people that have another Father, but he ain't in heaven. But our Father, which art in heaven, that's the one we're directing these prayers to. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. As in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He said, pray like this. Here's how you pray. And you start out by addressing what you're about to say to our Father. Our Father. And in that one thought is rolled up the name that we call to in our need. In that one little phrase, that one little word right there, whatever we need, whatever we're anxious about, whatever it is that we're sick over, fearful of, lonely, whatever our need, lost, weakness, we can call that one name. We can call out to that one name, that one person, that one Father, who covers all of those needs that we have in our life. We call out to one. Under that one umbrella, under that one one thought that we have there. So friend, we don't just have a God that's disconnected and separated into parts. It's all collected and all together. We don't have to separate it into parts, because ours is a relationship with a person. We don't have to figure out who we're going to converse about this problem with. We know who we can go to with it. It's our Father. We go to our Father. We don't have to break it down into something else so that we can be assured that he's there. We have his full and undivided attention. He is our Father. He is the ultimate Father. He's the one we come to when we need $5 for gas. Huh? Our kids come, need that $5. We can go to our Father. He has the $5 we need for gas. Amen? That's our Father. He's not disconnected from us. He's there. He understands. And all the needs that we have, we can roll over on Him. Under that heading of Father. He's the one who turns the closet light on when we're afraid. Father, I'm afraid. And He says, look, let me just put a little light on this for you. There's nothing too little for Him. He cares about all of these things. It's His strong arms that pick us up when we fall down. It's His strong arms that carry us when we can't carry ourselves. He just picks us up. That's Him. And He'll pick us up over and over and over again if we'll cry out to Him and tell Him, Father, I need You. He's our Father. He's strong, yet He's gentle. He's our Father. He is stern, yet He's compassionate. He's our Father. He's disciplined, yet He's forgiving in all things. That's our Father, our wonderful Father. Our wonderful, glorious Father is who I'm talking about today. Look down at verse 30 in our passage. It says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. That 30th verse tells us that He knows what we have need of. It's not a mystery to Him. He knows what we have need of. When it says, have need there, a literal rendering of that is that the need is many and constant. It's a plurality in that. And many and constant go with the phrase that we have there. So that tells us that He knows that we have needs and that they are many and that they are constant out there. And our Father knows what they are, that we have many needs and that they are constantly coming at us. So to say that we're a needy people is a huge understatement, isn't it? And He knows how needy we are. That's our Father. Our needs are many. They are constant. We're constantly in need. And our Father's well aware of our needs. When it says knoweth, that's talking about the fact that He's always aware of everything that affects His children. Sometimes we get to thinking that He's forgot us. But He's always aware of everything that's affecting His children. Sometimes I know that something's affecting a child of mine, but I don't know what it is. And sometimes they won't tell me. He didn't have that problem. He knows what's affecting His children. He knows what's affecting you. How it's affecting you. Where it's coming from. No explanation needed. He knows all of that already. We as earthly fathers are very incomplete in that way. Nothing gets by Him. Nothing escapes Him. Take a look at verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? There's nothing right, nothing wrong that's going on in our lives that He's not aware of. He's aware of everything that is connected to our lives, the many, many and constant needs that we have. He knows about all of them. That's physical, that's material, that's emotional, that's mental, that's spiritual. Everything our Father knows about. Take a look at verse 31. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That tells us that He doesn't just know what all is going on with us. How many times have you listened to somebody pour out their heart and it's a mess? And at the end of this mess that they poured their heart out to you about, you come to the realization and to the point of knowing, I can't fix that. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to sort that out. I don't know what to tell you. Have you ever come to that place with folks? I just don't know what to tell you. So we have a Father that never gets to that point. He knows what. He knows what everything needs. He knows what you need. He knows where you are. And He knows how to sort it out if you let Him sort it out. He knows how to lead you through and guide you through. He knows how to deliver what you need at that moment. God not only knows, but He has the ability to meet the need. Knowledge is no good apart from the ability to do something about it. Just knowing about it doesn't get us where we need to be sometimes. And we have a God that is that way. He not only knows, but He has the ability to do something about it. And that's the beauty of Him being our Father. Verse 32 says, fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom is everything that pertains unto His rule. The ruling one that we have here has the wherewithal to meet every need that arises in every one of His subjects. And when He says that all these things shall be added to you, what He's saying is, the King is saying, your Father is saying, that He has the ability to back up what He knows you need. And that's His promise to us as kingdom children. He knows and He can back up what you need. If our Father can speak everything into existence, I think He can take care of us. What do you think? If He can keep Noah from drowning in sin, can He keep you from drowning in sin? He did it once, He can do it again. There's nothing that He can't do. He has the ability to take care of everything. The ability to take care of everything that He knows, and He knows everything. If He can feed Elijah by sending bologna by buzzard, then He can feed you when you need feeding. What do you think? If He can airlift it in by raven, He can airlift it into you. Isn't that the truth? He can certainly do that. If He can keep three Hebrew boys safe in the furnace, He can keep the flames of temptation from singeing you, can't He? He can certainly do that. If He can keep Daniel safe in the lion's den of consequences for righteousness, then He can give you peace when you make a stand too, can't He? This is who He is. He has the ability and the wherewithal to do any and everything that we need in our lives. When we read that God parts the seas and that He raises the dead, when He slays giants and knocks down walls, when He brings down fire from heaven, opens the earth and swallows evil up, routs enemies with pitchers and with lamps, if He did it for them, folks, He'll do it for you. Because He's our Father. He's your Father, you see. Verse 32 tells us that our Father stands at the ready. That's what good pleasure means. That He's determined and ready to do what seems good. That is prefaced there by fear not. So we are not to fear because He is determined and ready to do that which is good. We should not fear because we know he's poised to do good for us. That is his good pleasure. So that means that he's always ready to do good for his children, that he's available, and that he's powerful, and that he's as close as a whisper. He's as close as a whisper. How many times have you ever had to whisper it to him? Things you were ashamed to say out loud, but you whispered them to your father. Sometimes it's nothing more than help. Because we don't know what to do. We don't know how to fix it. We don't know which direction to turn. We don't even know how to get started. And instead of going through our Father which art in heaven, we just boil all that down and come to the place of wanting to visit with him heart to heart. And we just say, help. I need you. I just need you. He's our Father. Your Father. Now, what's your part in all of this? Take a look at verse 29. Seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. There's a nautical term for you. A nautical term that describes a ship being tossed in a stormy sea. Doubtful mind. Don't allow your mind to work you over. Don't allow your mind to work you over, to toss you up and down on the waves of doubt and on the waves of worry and on the waves of fear. That's what he's saying. That's your part. Don't let that work you over. Don't get worked up into this stuff. I'm your Father. I can handle this. We're going to be okay, son. We're going to be all right through this right here. Don't let it work you up and over. Verse 32 says that you're not to allow yourself to be seized with fear. What's all that mean? It simply means this. No matter what circumstances look like, no matter how helpless it seems, don't you never count God out. You have to know that he understands and sees, that he has full knowledge, and that he has the ability. He has the ability to take a child of God through. It's never hopeless. Never count him out on all of that. Listen to me. He's already on the other side of your problems. See, we're on this side looking at them. But God's already on the other side of the problem. And so what we have to come to the place of doing is looking through our problem. Because on the other side of the problem that we're facing today, God's there. You see, he already visited this day thousands of years ago. He's already been to this day thousands of years ago. Whatever problems have come to this time, folks could look through that problem, they'd see God on the other side. They'd see him working on the other side, working things out, working things to the greater good and for the best of those that are involved. Even those problems that end with us breathing our last ought to be met with calm and assurance, because we know that God's on the other side. That he's on the other side of whatever this is that's facing us. And that if we'll go ahead and look through the problem, that we'll see him there standing, ready, ready. He's preceded us. He's ahead of us, reaching back to us, helping us through these situations in our life. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek means to crave something. Crave something. Crave the things of God. Put him first. This is one of the things that'll help you when the trouble does come, if you put him first. Put him first and crave him above all things, so that when the troublesome times come, you can know that he knows, and you can know that he has the ability to help you through this situation and through this problem. Seek him, crave him more than anything else. Put him first above all other things. Pursue the spiritual, and our Father will see to the material. That's what he's getting at with all of this. Seek Him in the spiritual, and He will take care of the material. When He's first, you don't need to worry about the rest of it. If God, His Word, and His house are not priorities in your life, then please get that straightened out. Get that straightened out. Put Him first. Put Him first in all of these things. Crave Him. Seek Him first in all these things. And if you're hoping to make it out of this life, but you've delayed your submission to the Father, you'll find that He will not violate His Word. His Word says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. He'll not violate His Word. You can count on Him keeping His Word. And that's a good thing for those that are believers. It's also a good thing for the lost to understand as well. He will not violate His Word. And there are no exceptions. And everybody comes the one way. And if you don't come the right way, He will not violate His Word. You got His promise on that. See, He's trustworthy. He is trustworthy in all things. And so we have to understand that our Father is one that can be trusted. Sometimes we have a hard time trusting our earthly Father, but our Heavenly Father can be trusted in all things. The difference between father and foe is in the Lord's Prayer as well. That we just looked at over here. He says, in verse 2 of chapter 11, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is where our Father the place that our Father wants us to come to. He wants us to come to the place of understanding and living what is His will. He wants His will to be done in our lives. And when we seek Him first, when we crave Him first, then we can rest assured that we are following after what He would have us to follow. When you put Him first, it's His will that's first. Listen to me. If you're sitting here lost this morning, you've had your will long enough. See, God will let you have your way. He'll let you do it your way. And in the end, if you continue to do it your way, you'll hear the Lord say, Have thy will. Have thy will. You want to go through life and be lost? Have at it. Your will be done. He's not going to be one that's going to overpower you and overtake you. You got decisions to make, choices to make. See, Christian, you got a choice to make today. Are you going to put Him first? If you put Him first and you crave Him above everything else, then you'll be one of those that'll be in the forefront saying, Your will be done, Father, in my life. I want to do what You want done. Have Your way. Have Your will. If you're here this morning and you've neglected your salvation this morning, then what you were in line to hear is the Lord tell you, Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whose will are you after this morning? Your will or His will? Our Father, what a relationship. What a wonderful, wonderful Father we have who knows all about us and has the ability to do something about it. Isn't that a wonderful thought on Father's Day? Maybe you could see your father in some of that, your earthly father in some of that. Maybe you can see him in a bunch of that. Maybe you can see him in very little of that. But here's the deal. When you look beyond that, we have a Father that is all of that. And that is our Heavenly Father this morning. Wonderful, wonderful Father we serve.